Good afternoon. Before we start, I just want to say a couple of things. And the first one, we have a brother, Emil Nashid, that labors much with putting a magazine called Toward the Mark. And there is a new issue of it. And Andrew, the box is outside the door, or by the door, next to where Peter is. Yes, it's like an auction. And please grab a copy. There are wonderful articles that helped us and will help, like it helped us in the past, with some good, solid articles to help us understand the truth of God. So that's one thing. The second thing, I feel for you. And the reason I feel for you is this afternoon, the way I'm looking at things, you're going to get a double dose of me. And after such a good meal, that's going to be very challenging. So if I saw you sleeping, because we all get tired in the afternoon, and I said, awake, thou sleepest, get the message before I call someone's name. So it's a double dose, so what can I say? I did not plan it so. Just let the record show. The other thing is, for a moment when the end of the first in the morning, when Brother McCary was making the announcement of the new regulation, I thought for a quick second I was at Grove City. The green bin for the sheet, the yellow bin for the pillows and whatever it is, I got so confused, I asked my daughter, please take my tray. But it's really wonderful to be together and have a sweet time around God's Word. And the last warning I'm going to give you, that if you misbehaved and you didn't pay attention this afternoon, I'm going to be walking with Bruce Lee. Brother Mark told us about martial art. So if you misbehave, you're going to deal with him. And I'm telling you, it's deadly. So the all-sufficiency of Christ. I don't know how much we learned so far. So if I ask the question, what have you memorized by now? Or I don't want to say memorized, but what comes to your mind? Like the first one was, just without looking at your sheet, what was the theme of the first study? Savior. That's good. Some are listening. What was the second one? Shepherd. How about the younger ones? But what was the third? Something you hate to go to school because of teachers. Okay. Teacher. This afternoon, Lord willing, we want to discuss the Lord Jesus as head. We want to understand what headship mean. But I really want to come into the practical aspect of it as head over the body and what's our function as a body in the present moment. Because for me, just to understand the doctrine of it and not put it to practice, it's not going to help us much. We want to understand what headship mean, and we want to understand how the head over his body and how we are members in that body, so that in a practical way, we can live it out as Christians and enjoy what God's thoughts concerning that theme of Christ being the head and you and I being the body. And for this, I'm going to turn to two of the scriptures that we have over here, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and by the help of the Lord, we'll see what we can glean together from these verses that we have. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the first place or the preeminence in all things. The second chapter, and we will start reading from just verse 16 will help a little bit. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days,
which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. There are verses that are recorded for us that we can later on perhaps get into them in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But I just want to start with that thought of these two verses for us by the help of the Lord to understand what does the head do? As the brother reminded us that in every office, and I would hope that you will see the result when the Lord Jesus acts as a Savior, He brings us into something greater. For example, that He saved us because we were sinners, and He is the captain of salvation, the Bible said, and He's bringing what? Many sons to glory. Now think of that for a moment. From sinner to son. That's quite a position. From sinner to son. That term belongs to all the saints of God. But just I want you to magnify the grace of God. That from sinner to son. The shepherd brings me from a lamb to a sheep. And when you think of sheep, you know what? So many times people would think of that sheep that normally, you know, there is the somehow the dumbness in it where just goes, eats, comes back. But that's not really the mind of the Lord. I always say that if you want to learn how to be a good Levite, you have to learn it from a donkey. When God has given us animals in the Bible, He has given it to us to learn something from them. And the reason I say that if you want to be a good Levite, you know what the Levites did in the Old Testament? They carried the testimony. Nobody could carry them but the sons of Levi, the Levites. And if you want to be a good Levite, you have to learn it from a good donkey. The Lord Jesus says, you go and you loose an ass colt that is tied and tell the master or whoever will ask you, the Lord has need of it. And what did this donkey did? He carried the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to learn how to carry the Lord and not let the influence of man be upon you, because that donkey in particular, the Bible says that no man rode it before. There was nothing of man that was upon this donkey. There was no influence upon this creature other than the Lord Himself. So if you want to learn how to be a good Levite, you learn it from a donkey. So when we talk about a shepherd and a sheep, if you want to learn how to be a good priest, why do I say a priest? In 1 Peter chapter 2, it is said that we enter in, how do I enter into the presence of God? As a holy priest, and I come out as what? As what? I come out, as far as 1 Peter chapter 2, as a royal priest. So I go in, and I come out. That's what we do right now. The day is coming where we're going to stay in. But now we go in, and we come out. What did he say in chapter 10, John 10 and verse 9? If any man shall come to me, he shall be, enter in, he shall be saved. What did he say then? He shall go in and out and find what? Find pastures. So if you want to learn to be a good priest, you learn it from a sheep. So that's a wonderful subject of a shepherd. But then we learned about discipleship or the teacher that is in the business of attracting disciples to learn from him and to follow him. You know what's the ultimate purpose of discipleship? The ultimate purpose, the Lord said it in the Gospel of Matthew. He said it is sufficient. The all sufficiency. What is the sufficient? Where would I be, the sufficiency? It is sufficient for the disciple to be like his master, or the word teacher that we have heard earlier. It is sufficient. So what does teaching bring in me to? Conformity to the Lord Jesus. That if I want to be like Christ, I have to learn Christ. And if you don't read the scripture, and if you don't listen to a good word, and if you don't have this line of communication with the Lord, then there's not going to be conformity to Christ as I'm living here on earth. You know, no wonder that the disciples, they were acknowledged that they have been with the Lord Jesus. They spoke like Him, you know.